Hey guys, this is John Karabi from the Dead Daisies, and I give you the right to rock. Turn it up.
The right to rock.
You're listening to the Right to Rock podcast, the only heavy metal and hard rock show on the net made by fans for fans. And now, get ready for two guys that are so metal, they rust when they sweat. It's Genghis and Rockman!
Hey guys, this is John Karabi from the Dead Daisies, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman show, Horns Up. Turn it up! With Ragman, Mono e Mono, with actually a very, very cool dude. I met him years ago. I don't think he remembers me, but I don't know. It just depends on how many fat, bald dudes he runs into at music festivals. But a really great singer and a guy I've been really wanting to chat with for a long time, Mr. John Karabi from the Dead Daisies. John, how you doing, man?
I'm all right, brother. How are you?
Good, good. Man, I want to congratulate you on the new record. Can you kind of, let's just jump into this thing. Can you kind of tell me, you know, the history behind the Dead Daisies, how long you guys have been around, and how this new album came together for you?
Well, the band was actually put together in, I believe, 2012 by our guitar player, David Lowy. He started the band in Australia with a different singer, a guy named John Stevens, who used to sing with NXS. And they put the band together, and through course of, you know, whatever, putting Rolodexes together, they hired Marco, and then they had Richard Fortus and Dizzy Reed, and then Brian came into the picture. And then last January, they basically had some shows planned for Cuba, a new record, and I guess John Stevens left to go do a solo, a new solo record or whatever. But they called me up, and I started with them. And last January, we went to Cuba. Then we did a new record called Revolution in March. And we pretty much toured almost all of last year. And then, obviously, you know, Richard and Dizzy they got the phone call to go back to Guns N' Roses for the big reunion tour this year. And we basically called up Doug Aldridge and asked him to step into this thing. And then we immediately went right back into the studio in January, and we started writing and recording our new record, Make Some Noise. And it's been out since August 5th, and we have literally been touring. I guess the record came out August 5th, but we actually started doing some shows in, like, June. We were over in Germany a couple times, and then for different shows, and then we went back over and did all of Europe, doing all of the festivals and a bunch of headlining shows, and now we're in the United States with KISS.
That's awesome, man. Well, I mean, what a pickup you guys got with getting Doug Aldridge. I mean, the guy's just a monster, and you get to see it on a daily basis. I've only seen the guy play, I saw him with Hurricane back in the day, and then I caught him with Whitesnake, and I'm like, holy mackerel. And I caught him with Dio. Yeah, so what a monster you got there. When I heard he joined the band, I was like, holy crap, you know, I'm already a Karabi fan, but now I got one of my favorite guitarists paired with one of my favorite singers. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's been really cool, man. The reception for the new record has been great. I publicly want to thank all of our fans. You know, they've been making the phone calls to radio stations and just in hordes buying the record. So we've actually wound up charting in, we've got about 18 or 20 different countries around the world. So it's been awesome, man. It's really been cool, and the shows have been great, so we're having a good time, man. It's awesome.
Well, let's talk about Make Some Noise. I got to tell you, man, I'm really into this record. I don't know how you guys write. I'd be real curious. And I've always thought that you're kind of an Aerosmith-y kind of guy. I think the vibe of the record to me has kind of a classic Aerosmith vibe, with you guys still making it your own, of course, but just kind of a good bluesy, sleazy, you know, just good old-fashioned hard rock and roll, man.
Well, you know, honestly, that's, you know, a lot of people have been terming us like, you know, super group or this group or whatever, you know, and at the end of the day, it's just, you know, we've all known each other for so long. You know, Doug and I go back, we're both from Philadelphia. I knew Doug when he was 16 or 17 years old, before he ever even moved to California.
Oh, wow.
And the same with Marco and Brian. I've known those two guys for 20 years. You know, so honestly, the band is just five guys that are all very good friends. And we're all very into the same sort of 70s classic rock thing. One of David Lowie's favorite bands is obviously AC/DC. He's from Australia. So between David's influences and then we're in the Zeppelin and Aerosmith and Grand Funk Railroad and all this stuff, you know, we just Van Halen. We just go into the studio when we first came in with Doug. We hadn't played a note of music with him. So when he came in, we just basically started pulling out laptops and just playing each other just riff ideas. We didn't have any songs. We just start playing riffs. And we wrote for about 10 days. And in the 10 days, we came up with about 20, I don't want to say songs because they weren't really done yet, but I call them maps. They were probably about 20, 22 really good, strong maps. And we got Marty involved in this whole thing, Marty Fredrickson. And we went back to Nashville and we just sat down and we kind of figured out, okay, these are the 14 that we're going to work on. And we just started laying them down. The guys went into the room, into a recording, you know, room, and they just started playing live. And I was off in another room. We could have eye contact with each other. But I was developing the melodies while they were kind of tweaking the songs and getting them even tighter. And we just lay them down. And then Doug would go off into one room and work on solos, and I would go off into another room and work on vocals and melodies. And we just knocked it out. We literally wrote, recorded, mixed, and mastered this whole record in a little under 5 weeks.
Dude, that's total old school and totally killer, because, you know, there's a lot of bands, and I'm hearing the trend. It seems like the trend now is guys are going back to getting away from the file sharing so much and just organically going in the studio or a rehearsal hall, working out songs, and then recording as a band rather than just shipping the files all over the place. And to me, as a long-term music fan, it's so refreshing because the product is so much better to me when everybody's collaborating in the same room rather than all over the world. I know you got to do it in some respects,
but it's just weird. Like when you're sitting there, there's a difference of sitting there watching. You know, obviously the main thing that we were working on when we were first laying the tracks down was getting the drums done. You know, but while you're playing, you're actually kind of, all eyes are on Brian, you know what I mean? So you're watching little fills and stuff that he does, and you're playing off of them as he's doing them. So it just kind of has this kind of, I don't know, it's just, you're right, it's a very cool way, but that's the way that we do it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, some other bands may opt to do it the other way, but we choose to, wherever we decide to do the record, we all fly in, and we know, like, because we're from all over the world, we've got a certain amount of time to do it, you know, without getting into the business part of it. You don't want to spend 6 months in a hotel room and then look at your bill at the end of the thing and go, oh my God, we spent like $200,000 on hotels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we just get in, and we're very methodical about it. We get in at like 10 in the morning, and we work till about 9 or 10 at night every day, Sundays included, and we just knock it out. And, you know, then we go home, and, you know, that we'll sleep when we're dead kind of thing. You know what I mean? We just knock the record out, and then we can go home and relax for a couple days, you know, or a week or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the way we do it, and honestly, the last record, Revolution, and this record, were both done the same, probably in the same amount of time, and they're, to me, I think they were both great records, and it works for us.
That's killer, man. You definitely got a good good system working, so I would suggest definitely stay with it. The first single, A Long Way to Go, what a great song. Can you tell me how that song came together, and as well as, you know, did you guys pick the first single, or is that more of something influenced from the record company?
I mean, you know, we're so close to the record. Like, I have thoughts and what I think the singles should be. but Doug has a different opinion, and then David has a different opinion, and Marco and Brian. So we're just like, we did the record, we did the best we could, and then we turned it over to the record label. And I think they kind of tested it with a few different writers and radio stations and different things, let them hear the whole record, and just they go off of the general consensus or the feedback, and then their staff. And Long Way to Go just seemed to be lyrically, and musically, you know, a good, strong song to start the whole process with. And it basically came together. It was just a riff. Like, David, our guitar player, he's got a method. He gets to the studio or to the, you know, venue. As soon as he walks in, he pours a glass of wine, plugs his guitar in, and then he literally sits there for hours just playing the guitar. Play, practices scales, all this stuff. And it was a riff that he had from last year that he thought was cool. You know, just the dan, 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 dan. And he thought it was cool. So we just saved it, and then we came up with it. And to be honest with you, at first, I couldn't think of anything to write about. Like, because there's a very odd little time signature in that song. Couldn't figure out where I was supposed to sing. But then as soon, I saw David after he finished tracking his guitars. He was walking out of the room, and I'm like, "How'd it go, buddy?" And he's like, "We got a long way to go and no time to get there." I thought he was referring to the record. But something in that phrase, I'm like, "Oh, that's kind of a cool line, you know?" And he's like, "Yeah, you should run with that one." And went in, and obviously the lyrics, if you watch the news every day of the week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're just being bombarded with all of this stuff that I wrote about. So I thought it was when the label said they wanted to release that one first. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Awesome. You know what I mean? Cool tune.
It's a very cool tune, and I think it's going to grab people to want to check out the record for sure. It's just got some really good hooks in it, and it kind of gets in your head and then go away. Another one that I'm really digging on is Last Time I Saw the Sun. Do you have a cool story about how that song came together?
Again, it's funny, last year, Brian, Dizzy, and I were sitting outside of the bus, and we were having a cigarette, and it was pitch black out. The bus had pulled over for a minute, and Brian was just sitting there. He's like, we were just talking about, you know, how long we had been on the road, and Brian's just like looking around. He's like, man, it is pitch black. He goes, I can't tell you the last time I saw the sun. So Brian said it, and then Dizzy was like, dude, that's a great title. So we went in and we started working on it, but the music initially was different. It was actually almost a slow song. So then we were doing this record, and I kind of came up with the riff for the riff for Last Time I Saw the Sun. I played it for the guys. They liked it. We put it together, and then Brian kept coming in. He's like, dude, how about Last Time I Saw the Sun? Remember that title? Use it for this one. I'm like, nah, a long way to go. How about this song? You know, and like every song he wanted to call it Last Time I Saw the Sun. And then finally, when we were working on it, I was just like, Last Time I Saw the Sun, we can make this about being on the road, you know. So I just wrote the lyrics and showed it to Marty, and he thought it was great. So, boom. It's just about our life on the road, man. It's just, you know, hotels and stages and faces and... You know, so it's pretty cool. I love that song too.
A very cool song. And another one I want to bring up. I'll kind of go back to what you said on "Long Way to Go" with some interesting time signatures and different ways you think the song's going to go. For me, "Mainline" did that. I thought it was going to go one way around the chorus, and it didn't go where I thought it was going to go, and it worked. It's really cool. That's another one that I really dig. Is that one of the songs where you may have had a little more trouble on kind of figuring out what you're going to do, or did that one come a little bit smoother for you?
Playing the song, I'm like, yeah, and I kind of wanted it to go somewhere different for the chorus. But it was funny, I sat down with Marty, and I'm going, man, I've got this idea. And Marty's like, oh, okay, well, that's cool, but how about this, adding this? And then he started adding things to it. Marty, the great thing about Marty Fredrickson, obviously, if you know anything about him, he's a great producer, but he's also an amazing songwriter. And he kind of helped me. You know, it's basically a job as a producer is like opening a window or a door for, and then showing showing the person you're working with like another option. And it was just great. Like, I sat with him and we tweaked some of the lyrics, and again, it's one of those things. It's kind of a tongue in cheek thing. You don't know if you're talking about riding on a train or. Whatever, but it's kind of one of those subtle double meaning things, but it's basically, you don't figure it out till the last verse, but it's basically telling you the trials and tribulations of doing drugs and stuff like that. So, but, it's a cool song, man. That's another one. We played it in Europe and it went over like, it was insane. It goes over so good.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to bring up the two covers. You got two covers on the record, Fortunate Son and Joined Together. And I got to tell you, out of the two, I love Fortunate Son. What a great song, you know. But I've never heard Joined Together so heavy. And, dude, I've got to tell you, I got the hairs on the end of my arms sticking up with the heaviness and the way you guys are getting after on that. What a great cover of that Who classic, man.
You know, it's funny. There's a million Who songs. They were such a great band, but it's just our tip of the hat to some of the. You know, we actually do intentionally do two songs on each record, cover songs, and it's just a tip of the hat to the bands that we grew up listening to and the bands that we still love. You know what I mean? And the thing about the Who song is, I've always thought that bass and guitar riff that happens in the second verse was just so heavy. And I wasn't sure whether or not we could pull it off live. Like, in the studio, you can do it, but live. But that's another one. We do it every night, And then it's kind of a no-brainer with the chorus. It's so easy for the audience to grab a hold of and start singing along. But we do it every night, and at the end of the song, I kind of stretch it out a little bit, get the audience singing, and then by the end of the song, they're just singing the chorus by themselves, and then the lights go black. So it's pretty cool, man. It's awesome.
Killer, man. Well, you mentioned you guys are going to be on tour with Kiss. How long does that tour last, and what happens after the Kiss tour?
Well, we got about four more shows with the guys. We end on September 10th, which is, I think, in 5 days. Kiss has been unbelievable to us. I can't point that out enough. Like, they've been so accommodating and great with us. This is our third or fourth tour we've done with them, and they're always amazing. So I want to thank Paul, Gene, Eric, and Tommy for that. But we got four more shows with them, and then we take a little bit of a break. I have a solo band. I'm going to do the Monsters of Rock cruise in Hollywood with my solo band. And then I'm leaving Hollywood, and I fly and meet up with the Daisies in Japan, and we are doing Japan. We're doing a bunch of USO shows in South Korea for the troops. And then we go do the Kiss cruise. And then we go right back from the Kiss cruise from Miami. And we go right back to Europe for 2 months. And we're going to tour all of Europe again with a band called The Answer.
I'm so jealous, man. I'm so jealous. What a bill that's going to be, dude.
It's going to be, yeah, it's The Answer and the Dead Daisies all through Europe and the UK. It's going to be killer.
Dude, I got to get on a plane, man. Well, John, I got to tell you, man, it was such an honor to talk to you. Before I let you go today, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Honestly, man, I've been doing this now because of the fans. I've been able to do this and continue to do it, travel the world like a little minstrel. Playing music for the last 25 or 30 years, and I just want to thank everybody and thank everybody as well for all of the support they've been giving the Dead Daisies. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be anything. So I want to thank everybody, and thank you for having me on the show today.
Well, John, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on therighttorock.com. And we want to tell all the guys out there, you got to go get the new Dead Daisies. Make some noise. It's a good, heavy, rocking record. It's awesome. And catch them live if you can in your town. I know I will. John, thanks again. Awesome talking to you, man. And the best of luck to you.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Wave goodbye to a friend of mine. Yes, it's time as the sun shines through the dawn. Another night is gone. Seems like days since I saw her face. In her place, no trace of yesterday. Ooh, yeah, but that's okay. She never comes back, it'll be too soon. I'm doing fine, just me.
Ragman, and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to Right to Rock Podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X, Adam and Joseph, have lent us 13 to finish the show. So what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.